الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع سميع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Just a reminder that tomorrow Asr Salah will take place at 6:30. Only for tomorrow, Asr Salah will take place at 6:30. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars-e Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate.
Give everybody a pause.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. إن الذين قالوا، verily those who say ربنا الله، our رب is Allah، ثم استقاموا، and are then steadfast، فلا خوف عليهم، they shall have no fear، ولا هم يحزنون، neither shall they grieve. أولئك أصحاب الجنة، these are the people of Jannah، خالدين فيها، where they will live forever، جزاء بما كانوا يعملون، as a reward for the deeds they carried out. These are verses number 13 and 14 of Surah Al-Ahqaf. In the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a mention of certain objections of the disbelievers with regards to prophethood and with regards to the revelation of the glorious Quran, with regards to the Quran being the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these objections were answered, and it was made clear that these objections of the disbelievers, they were completely baseless. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that now that we have made it clear that your objections are baseless, let us understand what is the objective and the purpose of the revelation of the glorious Quran. The objective and the purpose is لِيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ. It's to warn those who are not accepting this message. It's to warn them. Inzar. Inzar means when you warn somebody, but with great concern. You have concern and feelings for that person. So how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala is saying that I reveal this book in order to warn with great concern, with great feelings, those individuals who have made it the mission of their life that they want to reject Islam, they want to reject the Quran, and they want to reject the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So لِيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. We've revealed this Quran so that we may warn the disbelievers. And if they were to take these warnings, and after taking these warnings, if they were to accept Iman, and they were to begin to practice upon the deen, then they will become from the muhsineen, they will become from those who do good. And the second objective of the Quran is وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ, to give glad tidings to the muhsinin, to give glad tidings to those who do good. So now in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that who are these muhsinin? Who are these individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given glad tidings? And what are the glad tidings? So Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, that verily those who say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, our Rabb is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and are then steadfast, they diligently practice the deen. They bring iman, and after bringing iman, they are steadfast upon the deen. Two things that each and every person needs to carry out in order to gain success. رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. These two phrases, they are from the Jawami'ul Kalim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُوتِيتُ بِجَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ, I have been favored with comprehensive speech. This is known as Jawami'ul Kalim. Comprehensive speech. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would utter a few words, but those few words would contain oceans of knowledge. This is why we find that those who have lifted their pens in order to commentate on the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they continue and continue to write under the small statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And lessons upon lessons are derived from each and every utterance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is also from amongst the Jawami'ul Kalim, the comprehensive speech, in which Sayyiduna Al-Thaqafi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sufyan bin Abdullah Al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu, once he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ, give me some advice regarding Islam, that after you, there will be no need for me to ask advice from anybody else. Make it short, but make it such that it's comprehensive. In one statement, give me all the advice that I need. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? قُلْ, say, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, and thereafter remain steadfast. This has everything in it. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, over here Allah Ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, they say رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, they say our Rabb is Allah. This is iman. That we believe in Allah, and with believing in Allah, we believe in all those other things that Allah Ta'ala has told us to believe in. And thereafter, remain steadfast means, number one, remain steadfast on this iman now, until you breathe your last. Until you breathe your last, you believe in Allah and you believe in everything that Allah Ta'ala has told you to believe in. You do not let the environment influence you. You do not let your friends influence you. You do not let your family influence you. Your beliefs remain firm. And together with the aqaid and the beliefs, your a'mal and your good deeds, the do's and the don'ts, that until you breathe your last, you carry out all the do's that Allah Ta'ala has commanded you, and you refrain from all the don'ts from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to refrain from. Not that you do it for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and thereafter you think to yourself, this is too difficult, and you leave it. When circumstances are in your favor, then you are practicing upon deen. But the moment you seem to understand that this is now difficult, things are getting difficult, then you leave the deen. Istiqamah, steadfastness, that you remain steadfast upon the deen until you breathe your last. And this is extremely difficult. Remain steadfast on your iman. Number two, you remain steadfast on the do's and the don'ts. And number three, you beautify your heart with all the good traits and you cleanse it from all the evil traits. And thereafter, you remain steadfast on these good traits until you breathe your last. For example, ikhlas and sincerity is a good trait. That you do every deed only to please Allah Ta'ala. So first, a person will have to work hard and exert effort in order to bring this quality of ikhlas in his life. That he is able to do every deed only for Allah, not for others. And after he brings this good trait into his life, then to remain steadfast until he breathes his last. That every deed is done with ikhlas. This is istiqamah. Pride and arrogance is an evil trait, and humbleness is a good trait. So first he will have to work on himself and beautify his heart with humbleness and rid it from pride and arrogance. And after he does this, he will have to live a life of humbleness until he breathes his last. So an extremely difficult command. This is why when Surah Hud was revealed, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he first came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that shibta ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can see that you are aging, you are getting old, we can see the white strands of hair in your beard. So a sign of old age is when our hair begins to turn grey and turn white. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said this out of concern, because he had great love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahaba saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now aging, which means that soon he will depart from this world. And as soon as he departs from this world, we will be deprived of this blessed company. And for them, this was unimaginable. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will leave the world and then we will have to live in this world without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Shayyabatni Hud. Surah Hud has made me old. And in another narration, Shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha. Surah Hud and those other surahs which are the sisters of Surah Hud. Meaning they have similar messages which Surah Hud consists of. These surahs have made me old. Some commentators of the Quran say that the reason for this is that in these surahs, Allah Ta'ala has made a mention of the previous nations and how they were destroyed. And likewise, Allah Ta'ala has made a mention of the horrific scenes of Qiyamah. So it was this horror and this anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala which can be experienced in these surahs, which made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam age. But Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that he says that Abu Ali rahimahullahu ta'ala once saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream. So he said that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard you saying that Surah Hud made you old. So is it because Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the incidents of how the previous nations were destroyed and how Allah Ta'ala has mentioned with regards to the horrors of the day of Qiyamah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rather, what has made me old is that in Surah Hud, Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Remain steadfast as you have been commanded. This one statement has made me old. Meaning there is so much power in this one statement that you have to remain steadfast on the entire deen until you breathe your last, because this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Your aqaid, your akhlaq, your characteristics, your mu'ashara, how you deal with people, your etiquettes of social life, your mu'amalat and your dealings in your transactions. So the entire deen, you have to bring the entire deen in your life and then remain steadfast upon this. This is something which Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to do. It's this which has made my hair go white and it's this which has made me age. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Istiqamah is the entire deen. This is why the ulama say, الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ فَوْقَ الْكَرَامَةُ. Istiqamah is even more superior and greater than a miracle. A karama. Karama is a supernatural act which is carried out by someone other than a prophet, but he is pious. There are three individuals who carry out supernatural acts. Number one, a Nabi and a prophet. This is called mu'jiza, miracle. If a prophet carries out a supernatural act, then this is mu'jiza and miracle. This is a sign of his prophethood. Number two, a pious person carries out a supernatural act. This is called karama. And number three is when a sinful person carries out a supernatural act. This is called istidraj. This is Allah Ta'ala testing him also and testing the people also. So karama is a supernatural act. But more superior than a karama is istiqamah, to remain steadfast upon deen. One individual spent a very lengthy period in the company of his sheikh. Many, many years. Thereafter, one day, he approached his sheikh and he said that, I wish to now leave you and go to another sheikh. So the sheikh said, this is fine. I have never claimed to be pious. I have never told you that you need to spend time in my company. You should go to others and benefit from them. Because this is how the pious feel about themselves. A pious individual never thinks to himself that I am pious. He never thinks to himself he is pious. Once, one individual, he told his sheikh that you come to my village so that the people of my village can also benefit from you. So the sheikh came to the village. He entered the house. So this person said that you remain in the house. I will go around knocking on the doors telling people that a very pious individual has come to our village. Come to my house and benefit from him. So as he was doing this, one of his friends whose house he knocked on, he came to the house. And he said that, I've heard that a very pious individual has come to our village. Are you that pious individual? So the sheikh said, no, I am not a pious individual. I'm just a normal person. You can sit down. So he said, well, there's no point in me wasting my time. So he stood up and he began to walk out. As he was walking out, his friend was coming. So his friend said, where are you going? So he said, I've just come from your house, and the person who was sat there, he said that he is not pious. So why am I going to waste my time there? So his friend tried to explain to him that this is how pious people are, that when you, that they will never claim to be pious. So he said, what's so of pious people are these that even pious people lie nowadays? He's pious and he's lying? So pious people truly inside, because their connection is with Allah Ta'ala, they have the recognition of Allah. So when somebody has the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, then he realizes that no matter how much I do, even if I worship Allah 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I am not in a position to present this ibadah to Allah, because his status is so high. His status is so high. This is why the angels who have worshipped Allah Ta'ala from the moment they have been created, and they will continue to worship Allah Ta'ala until the day of Qiyamah. Imagine, not a single moment in which they are not worshipping Allah. Not a single second. But on the day of Qiyamah, the angels, all of them in one voice will say, مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. Oh Allah, we have not worshipped you as is the right to worship you. So istiqamah is the entire deen. So that, I was mentioning another incident, that sheikh, his disciple said that, I wish to leave. And the sheikh said, by all means you can leave, you can go and benefit from another sheikh. But inform me, what is the reason? So he said, the reason is that in this many years, I have not seen you do anything supernatural. So he had this misconception that if a person is pious, that means he does supernatural acts. He begins to fly in the sky and he can walk on water. Some people have these misconceptions. You're stuck in traffic and they'll say to you that if you're really pious, we should be able to reach our destination. Otherwise, you're not pious. This has nothing to do with piety. Yes, sometimes Allah Ta'ala assists. That's different. But it's not a prerequisite for piety. So the sheikh understood this illness and this wrong conception which was in this person's mind. So it was necessary that he cures this misconception. Otherwise, he's going to go from one sheikh to another with the same mindset that I have to see something supernatural. So what did he say to him? He said, it's true, you've never seen me do anything supernatural. But inform me, in this many years, have you seen me do anything contrary to the Sharia or to the deen? So he said, no, I've never seen you do anything wrong. He said, what greater karama do you want than this? This is the greatest karama. So al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama, remaining steadfast on deen is even more superior than doing something supernatural. So istiqamah is the entire deen. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that istiqamah is that a person leaves shirk. He leaves ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter he doesn't ever go near shirk again in his life. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that istiqamah is a person leaves kufr and disbelief, and thereafter for the rest of his life he doesn't go anywhere near kufr and disbelief again. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that istiqamah means that a person carries out every single deed with ikhlas and sincerity, only for the pleasure of Allah. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi says that istiqamah is that a person leaves all sins. He doesn't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he brings in all the fara'id and the wajibat, the compulsory acts, into his life. And Fudail bin Ayaz rahimahullahu ta'ala says that istiqamah is that a person gives preference to that which is going to remain forever over that which is going to come to an end. In other words, the akhirah is going to remain forever and this world is going to perish. So he gives preference to the akhirah over the dunya. And he disattaches himself. He has no inclination towards this world which is going to perish, and he has a great inclination towards the akhirah and the hereafter, which is going to remain forever. So this is istiqama. So we should also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those that the entire deen enters our life. And after the entire deen enters our life, then we remain steadfast on this deen until we breathe our last. This is istiqama. Abu Zayd Marwazi rahimahullahu ta'ala, his student mentions regarding his teacher. So the name of the teacher is Abu Zayd Marwazi rahimahullahu ta'ala. So his student says that once we traveled from Naisapur to Makkatul Mukarrama. In those days, it would take many days for a person to undertake this journey. And students, they would spend time in the company of the teachers. Today, if a person can even take out sufficient time to attend lessons, then we will say that he has done a lot. He has made a great sacrifice. In those days, attending the lessons was something normal. In one lesson, you would have easily 40,000, 50,000 people. Now you and I will say that 40,000, 50,000, how is this possible? So on a Saturday at 3 p.m., look at the stadiums around this country. Easily you will see 40,000 in one stadium, 50,000 in another stadium. Season ticket holders, every weekend they are already dedicated. If the match is even 5 hours away, 6 hours away, they will travel. There are supporters of football teams who wake up 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning and they will travel 6, 7 hours, watch the game for 2 hours, 3 hours. Even that, they have to pay the ticket, they have to stand in the rain, in the cold. And then they return home, but dedicated. So if someone can dedicate themselves to watching 22 people running after a football, then why can't people dedicate themselves to learn about the Quran and Hadith? So there was a time when you would have 40,000, 50,000 individuals. This was normal. And there were no mics in those days. There were no mics. So the teacher would impart the lesson and thereafter you would have many other individuals who would relay what the teacher is saying. So many students would not even be able to directly hear from the teacher. But even then, this would be the crowd. But together with participating in the lesson, students would spend quality time in the company of the teachers. They would travel with them also. Why? So that they can learn. Because when a person spends time in the company of the teacher, then he is able to see the practicalities of life. That how are you supposed to do this? How are you supposed to do this? And in this way, they would learn. One student, he traveled to a foreign land. And he had two objectives behind his journey. One objective was that I want to acquire hadith from that muhaddith who is residing in that town. And the second objective was that this will also be a business trip. I will purchase items and thereafter I will return and sell those items in my homeland. These were the two objectives. Again, traveling is something which has become very common. People are going on holidays all the time. But the mistake we make is there is no objective and purpose. It has just become part of the culture that I go every year, so even this year I am going. You ask a person, why are you going? Just holiday. So last year I went here, this year I will go here. So when there's no objective and no purpose, you are not going to acquire anything from there. You are spending money, you are spending time, you are going there, you are returning. You are returning with nothing. If only we had objective and purpose behind our travels, behind our journeys. These people, they did everything with objective and purpose. And this is the teaching of our deen. That anything you do, do it with an objective, do it with a purpose. Don't just do it for the sake of it. So he traveled with these two objectives. The day for his departure was now nearing. So he purchased all the goods which he was supposed to purchase, and the intention was to return with these goods and sell these goods. On the last day, he thought to himself that before returning, today is my last day here, let me spend this last night in the company of my teacher. So at the time of tahajjud, he went in the room and his teacher was performing tahajjud salah, and he saw his teacher doing something which he had not seen his teacher do before. And he had not come across this action anywhere in the hadith. So after the teacher finished, he said to his teacher that, I saw you carrying out this particular action. Can you tell me that from which hadith have you learned this action from? So that I can gain this piece of knowledge also before I return, because today I am returning back home. So for some reason, the teacher said to him that, I will not give you the answer to this question of yours for one entire year. Now, which student here will think to himself, well, if the teacher has said this, then this means I have to remain here for 1 year now? You ask a question and you get told that, I'll tell you, but after Isha Salah. You'll say, forget it, I'll ask somebody else. But this was the attachment. They knew that these are the etiquettes with which ilm can be acquired. It's because of these sacrifices that, look, after hundreds or thousands of years, we are still speaking about these people. I will not give you the answer for an entire year. He's purchased all the goods. He knows that if I don't return home, I am not going to gain any profit. Rather, I'm going to incur loss. And he could have even thought to himself that, let me return home and after 1 year I will come back for the answer. But no. He remained there for one entire year. He kept in mind the date. And after that one entire year had elapsed, he went to his teacher and very respectfully said that, 1 year ago, do you remember what happened? 1 year has elapsed, now can you give me the answer? This is how these people acquired ilm. So Abu Zayd Marwazi rahmatullahi alayhi, we are talking about istiqama. So his student says that, we travel from Naisapur to Makkatul Mukarrama, a very lengthy journey, many weeks. In this lengthy journey, I can say with full confidence that the angel on the left who writes the sins and the evil deeds of a person will not have had to lift its pen in this entire journey. Safar and journey, traveling, this is when a person's true colors are exposed. This is why somebody came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said that such and such an individual is a very good person, very pious. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, very pious? What do you mean very pious? Today everyone has the title Sheikh, everyone has the title Mufti. Everyone is pious. So what do you mean he's very pious? Maybe you have seen him perform some salah. Maybe you saw him fasting. So he said, yes, I saw him performing extra salah and I saw him fasting extra, so I am saying he's very pious. Umar radiallahu anhu said, have you traveled with him? He said, no, I haven't traveled with him. He said, well, then you do not know if he is pious or not. Because when you travel with a person, then his true colors are exposed. Even in this day and age, where traveling has become relatively easy, but you still have turbulence in the journey. Sometimes it'll be at the airport, sometimes it'll be in the vehicle, sometimes the flight is delayed, sometimes the luggage gets lost. Sleeping pattern changes, food pattern changes. Now you see this person getting frustrated, getting angry. Can he remain composed in the journey or not? So in the entire journey, what does he say? In the entire journey, not once would the angel on the left have had to lift his pen to write a sin. In other words, he never committed no wrong in the entire journey. This is istiqamah. Ibn Awn rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Awn rahimahullahu ta'ala. His student says that, I spent 24 years in the company of my teacher. 24 years. Not 24 hours, 24 years. We spend 24 hours in someone's company and everything will become exposed. Here, 24 years. He says, in those 24 years, I saw his day and I saw his night. And I looked very carefully at how my teacher spends his time. And I can say with confidence, in those 24 years, the angel on the left would not have had to lift his pen to write anything wrong with regards to my teacher. Istiqamah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This is istiqamah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, that I can say with full confidence that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will not question me with regards to backbiting. Because I have never backbited anybody. How many people can say that I have never backbited? When we speak, it's very difficult, very difficult. You will say one sentence, two, and before you know it, you will speak about somebody. Because we never think before we speak. The usul and the principle is, think before you speak. Likewise, think before you type. Because today we speak less with the tongue, but more with our phones. So if you were to look at your chat on your WhatsApp groups, you look at your chat and you go back and look at your entire chat, that what have you been talking about? You'll realize that in that chat, you've committed many wrongs and many sins. You've spoken ill about others in their absence, without even realizing. This is ghibah, this is backbiting. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says that I never backbited. So I was saying the principle is that think before you speak. Think before you speak, that what am I about to say? Is it even permissible? What I am about to say, is it going to be beneficial? What I am about to say, is it going to cause inconvenience to the other person? What I am about to say, is it true or is it false? Am I exaggerating? If somebody comes to you and says that, Alhamdulillah, I've been blessed with a baby boy, and you say, I am extremely happy. So ask yourself, are you really extremely happy? Or are you just happy? Or are you not happy at all? But you are just saying you are extremely happy. Even in messages. So this is also going against قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Allah Ta'ala says that when you speak, you have to speak that which is correct, which is straight. So word choice is also very important. That if you are saying you are extremely happy, but you're not extremely happy, you're happy. Then even this is not truthful speech. So think before you speak, number one. This is the principle. Think before you speak. So there was a time when people would think before they speak. Then came the second era, where people would speak and thereafter they would think. So they would say something, then they would realize that what I said, I shouldn't have said it. Which is not as good as the first, but at least they would think after they speak. So in future, they won't make that mistake. Or they'll do tawbah and they'll repent that I shouldn't. They'll ask for forgiveness that I shouldn't have said this to you. And now we live in the third era. We don't think before we speak and we don't think after we speak. We just keep speaking. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, never backbited. Allah Ta'ala will not ask me on the day of Qiyamah that why did you backbite? Because I have never backbited. This is istiqamah. Ahmad bin Salama al-Naysapuri rahimahullahu ta'ala says that I went to Kufa to study. Kufa in Iraq. It was a center of ilm during that time. So he says, I went to Kufa to study. Over there was a great imam by the name of Imam Hannad rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam Hannad. He was known as Rahibul Kufa. So Rahib means monk. So in Christianity you have monks, those who dedicate their entire lives to worship, and as a result they disattach themselves from all worldly engagements. And they regard this as piety. But this is the beauty of our religion, that in our religion this is not regarded as piety. We have not been told by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you want to be a pious individual, leave everything onto one side and just worship me 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week. No. Piety is that you have a wife also, you have children also, you work also. You have leisure time also. You socialize also. But you do all this within the confines of the deen and the religion. This is the difference. So he was given the title Rahibul Kufa, the monk of Kufa, because of the levels he went to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you get certain individuals, that's different. We don't try to copy that. So he was Rahibul Kufa. The people would say that you won't find a greater Zahid, someone who has abstinence from this world in Kufa, than Imam Hanad rahmatullahi alayhi. So Ahmad bin Salama says that one day, it was my first day there in Kufa, so after the Fajr Salah, Imam Hanad would impart his dars of hadith. So I sat in his lesson. This is the reason why I had gone to acquire knowledge from him. After he finished imparting the lesson, all the students returned home. Me being a new student, I remained behind to see how I can benefit from the company of this sheikh. So he says that as soon as he finished the lesson, he stood up and he began to perform optional salah, and in the optional salah, he began to recite the Quran in an audible manner. And he did this all the way until the time of Zawal. At the time of Zawal, now it's makruh to perform salah. So he finished his salah. He went in, relieved himself, and thereafter he came back out and he performed Zuhr salah. And after Zuhr salah, again he began to perform nafil and optional salah, reading the Quran in an audible manner all the way till the time of Asr salah. And after the Asr salah, because between Asr and Maghrib now it's makruh to perform any optional salah, he opened the Quran and he began to recite the Quran all the way till Maghrib. So I remarked and said that Ma asbara alal ibadah. How amazing and strange is the ibadah and the worship of this man. From Fajr till Maghrib, all I've seen is ibadah. So the people began to say that this is his ibadah in the day. You have not seen his ibadah in the night. And thereafter they said that whatever you have seen him do in the day and whatever you will see him do in the night, he has been doing this not for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. He has been doing this for the past 70 years. This is istiqamah, steadfastness. That you remain steadfast until you breathe. Imagine 70 years of ibadah. 70 years. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were two wretched individuals who claimed prophethood. One was Musaylama Kazzab and the other is Aswad Anasi. First, they embraced Islam. After embracing Islam, they turned away from Islam. And after turning away from Islam, they claimed prophethood. Musaylama Kazzab, he once proposed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I believe you are the Prophet of Allah, but I am also the Prophet of Allah. So let's divide the world into two. You will be a prophet on half the earth, I will be a prophet on the other half of the earth. This was his foolishness. Once one of the disbelievers came to him and said that you are the Prophet of Allah. What wahi have you received in the last few days? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives revelation. Have you received revelation? He said, yes, you know how they have Surah Fil? We also have Surah Fil. I receive Surah Fil. He said, what's your Surah Fil? He said, Al-Fil, Mal-Fil, Wama Adraka Mal-Fil, Lahu Khurtumun Tawil, Wadhammun Saghir. He said, elephant. What is an elephant? What do you know about what is an elephant? He has a long tail, and he has a long trunk, and he has a short tail. This was his Quran. This is Musaylama Kazzab. So even the disbeliever began to laugh. And he said, who are you trying to fool? The Quran has Al-Qariyah, Mal-Qariyah, Wama Adraka Mal-Qariyah. So he, using this, he made Al-Filu, Mal-Filu, Wama Adraka Mal-Fil. So this Musaylama Kazzab, he once called upon Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullahu ta'ala. He arrested him. Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullahu ta'ala. And after arresting him, he said that if you do not accept my prophethood, then you're going to be thrown into the fire. So this was the istiqama and the steadfastness of Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he preferred to be thrown in the fire, but he did not accept the fact that I will say that yes, you are the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. So he was thrown in the fire. He was thrown in the fire. But when he was thrown in the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that miracle occur which he made for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the fire was unable to harm Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah. Allah ta'ala turned the ag into bag. He turned the fire into a garden. An Urdu poet says, Aaj bhi ho gar Ibrahim sa ima paida, aag kar sakti hai andaze gulista paida. That even today, if somebody has the iman which Ibrahim alayhi salam had, then even today Allah ta'ala can turn the fire into a garden. So Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala was thrown in the fire, but the fire did not harm him. So the people said to Musaynama Kazzab, his advisors, that you need to take him out from this village very quickly. Otherwise, your prophethood is at stake. Nobody is going to believe you. So they banished him. And he went to Madinatul Munawwara. When he reaches Madinatul Munawwara, he enters Masjid al-Nabawi and he begins to perform his salah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees that there is a new person in Medina today. So after finishing salah, he realizes that this person has come from that locality. He says that, what can you inform me with regards to that individual for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire cool? Because he did not accept the prophethood of the false prophet. So Abu Muslim Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala said that huwa Abdullah bin Thuwab, that the person you are speaking about, his name is Abdullah bin Thuwab. So Abu Muslim, that was his title, father of Muslim. His actual name was Abdullah bin Thuwab. So he didn't say, yeah, that's me. Something good happens in our life and somebody says that, who was that person? Straight away you'll say, that's me. But no, these people would hide their good traits. So he never said that, yes, it's me, Abu Muslim Khawlani. He said, that was Abdullah bin Thuwab. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had firasa. Firasa means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a believer insight. He is able to reach conclusions. When Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once on the pulpit on the day of Jumu'ah, delivering the khutbah, one of the people who were coming for the Jumu'ah salah, on the way, he committed a sin with his eyes. He looked at a woman, a strange woman. And thereafter he entered the masjid. So as soon as he entered the masjid, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the minbar said, what has happened to the people? They are coming for Jumu'ah salah, and whilst coming for the Jumu'ah salah, they are committing sins on the street. But this individual was shocked that Uthman is on the minbar and I have committed a sin outside. How does he know? So he said, Awahyun ba'da kitabillah? Is wahi and revelation being sent down after the Quran? No, I thought the days of wahi were finished. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Abu Bakr has passed away. Umar has passed away. And Uthman is Khalifa. Awahyun ba'da kitabillah? Is there wahi? Uthman radiallahu anhu said, La, walakin firasatul mu'min. This is not wahi, this is firasatul mu'min. Allah Ta'ala gives certain believers such insight that just by looking at you, they can tell. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Abu Muslim said that huwa Abdullah bin Thuwab, instantly he realized that no, Abdullah bin Thuwab, he is Abdullah bin Thuwab. This is Abu Muslim Khawlani. So he said, tell me, it's you, isn't it? So he said, yes, it's me. So then he took him to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, let's go to Abu Bakr and sit with him. And thereafter Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that all praise be to Allah who has given me the privilege to sit in the company of that individual with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt in the same manner that he dealt with Ibrahim alayhi salam. These are the fruits of istiqamah and steadfastness. And the other individual who claimed to be a prophet was Aswad-e-Anasi. So Aswad-e-Anasi, an incident took place with a pious person by the name of Habib bin Zayd al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Habib bin Zayd al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was summoned. And Aswad-e Anas, he said that, tell me, what do you say with regards to me? So he remained silent. So Aswad-e Anas said, what do you say with regards to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to Muhammad? So he said, Huwa Rasulullah, he is the Prophet of Allah. What do you say with regards to my prophethood? So he said, Inna fi udhunayya samaman an sima'i ma taqul. I cannot hear what you are saying. He remained steadfast also, and he also disgraced the enemy of Allah. Whereas in such circumstances, it's permissible for a person to say that, yes, I believe that you are the Prophet of Allah, as long as in your heart you don't believe. But to save your life, you are allowed to utter these statements. But these people practiced upon the greater level. That even though it's permissible to say this, I am not going to say. How can I say with regards to a person who is not the Prophet of Allah that, yes, I believe you are the Prophet of Allah? So he became extremely angry and he said, cut off one of his hands. One of his hands were cut off. And then he was asked, what do you say regarding Muhammad? Again, he said, Huwa Rasulullah. What do you say regarding me? Inna fi udhunayya samaman an sima'i ma taqul. I cannot hear what you are saying. Second hand was cut off, same thing happened. A leg was cut off, same thing. Another leg was cut off, same thing. Limb by limb was cut off, but he remained steadfast upon this until he breathed his last. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. We brought iman, alhamdulillah. We have iman. We need to remain steadfast upon this iman now until we breathe our last. And we need to remain steadfast on the do's and the don'ts. Fara'id and wajibat, we need to carry out. And we need to refrain from haram, makruhi tahrimi. And thereafter, we need to carry out as many optional acts, because this will beautify our deen. Mustahab is preferable. Mustahab is preferable. And makruh is disliked. Everybody knows mustahab means preferable and makruh means disliked. But what do we do? When we know that something is mustahab, we say, well, it's mustahab, so let's leave it. And when something is makruh, we say, well, it's makruh, so we can do it. Completely the opposite. It should have been mustahab is preferable, so let me do it because it's preferable, and makruh is disliked, so let me leave it. But no, look at how the mindset has changed. So istiqamah. What will be the result? فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. They shall have no fear, neither shall they grieve. Ulaika ashabul jannah. These are the people of Jannah. Khalidina fiha. They will live in there forever. Jaza'an bima kanu ya'manun. As a reward for the deeds they carried out. No fear and no grief. Fear is with regards to what will happen ahead in the future. And grief is with regards to the past. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of death, when a person will be about to leave this world, Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who say our Rabb is Allah and then they remain steadfast. What will happen at the time of death? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angels will descend from the heavens. And these angels will say, Allah takhafu, do not fear, wala tahzanu, and do not grieve. Now just imagine you are in your final moments. Nobody can assist you now. Nobody can help you. Your family cannot help you. The doctors cannot help you. But at that time, if the angels were to descend and say, do not fear and do not grieve. And do not fear and do not grieve is regarding two things. Do not fear regarding what's going to happen ahead now. Meaning there's nothing to worry about. The soul will be extracted in a very easy manner. When you go into the grave, everything is going to be fine. On the day of Qiyamah, everything is going to be fine. There's nothing to fear about what's going to happen ahead. And regarding the past, when a person is on his deathbed, he is worried. What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? What will happen to my business? What will happen to my institute? لا تحزن. There's no need to grieve. And the greatest grief that a person of iman has at the time of death is what will happen to the iman of my progeny and my children and my family. So لا تحزن, there's an indication that the angels are saying that do not worry. we have safeguarded your iman, and by you remaining steadfast on your iman, we are giving you glad tidings that the iman of your wife and your children and the people you are leaving behind, that will also be safeguarded. So لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا at the time of death. Number two, these angels will descend in the grave. When you are in the grave, and in the grave they will say there is no need to fear and no need to grieve. In the grave there will be istiqama also. When the angels come to ask you the three questions, you will not go left to right, you will remain firm. You will be so firm that when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in the grave, and Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha was in her grave, when Rabia Basriya was in her grave and the angels came down to ask the three questions, who is your Rabb? What is your deen? What do you say regarding this man? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they came to ask Rabia the question, Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha said, where have you come from? This firmness. You're in an interview and they ask you a question, would you have the guts to ask a question back? Yeah, at that time you're shaking. You're nervous. So imagine in the grave. But these people were prepared. When you're prepared for the interview, then you can say things as you want. Full confidence. Rabia Basriya said, where did you come from? He said, we have come all the way from seventh heaven and above. Then you've come from that far and you know who your Rabb is. And you are asking me, you think I have forgotten? I've only come from 6 foot. Umar radiallahu anhu was asked, who is your Rabb? He replied, Allahu Rabbi famar Rabbukuma. Allah is my Rabb. You tell me who is your Rabb. What is your deen? My deen is Islam. Tell me what is your deen. So the angels returned back to Allah and said to Allah, oh Allah, we do not know. Did you send us to question him or did you send him to question us? Istiqama in the grave. And number three, istiqama on the day of Qiyamah, at the time of reckoning. At the time of reckoning, Yawmul Hashr, the angels again will say, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. There's no need to fear, there's no need to grieve. When everybody will be fearful, then now, how is Allah Ta'ala going to deal with us? What if Allah Ta'ala was to question us with regards to our life? How will we answer? And besides these three occasions, at the time of death, in the grave, and on the day of Qiyamah, the Mufassirin mentioned that during our lifetime also, the angels descend on multiple occasions upon those people who are practicing upon the deen, and they say, do not fear and do not grieve. But the reason these three points have been mentioned is because on these three occasions, a person will be able to see with his own eyes the angels. And during his lifetime, he cannot see them. But a sign that they are descending is that you are in a very difficult moment and suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the ability to remain composed. You are able to endure patience. You are able to do the right thing. This shows that the angels have descended. They've said to you, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا, and you have been able to do the right thing in that moment. A moment of grief. But in that moment of grief, you do the right thing. You're allowed to cry. You're allowed to feel that grief. Because you are human, this is natural. But you will not say anything with your tongue which goes against the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعُ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنُ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his son passed away and tears began to roll down his eyes, his cheeks, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said that, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the one who teach us about sabr and patience and you are crying? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, yes, the eyes, they cry and the heart feels the grief, but we do not say anything with our tongue which will displease Allah. This is the true meaning of sabr and patience. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So, even at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down angels who will say this, and they will say, نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ, that this is now a hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are going to be the guest and Allah will be your host. In that, the Mufassirin mentioned that there is an indication that when you will go into Jannah, you won't only get what you ask for, you will get much more. Just as when you are a guest, and if you were to say that today I want to eat rice, the host will not only put that one rice, he will put rice, and on top of this he will put many other things. So Allah Ta'ala will give you what you ask for in Jannah, and on top He will give you much more. So ulaika ashabul Jannah. These people are the people of Jannah. Khalidina fiha. They will live in there forever. Jaza'an mima kanu ya'manun. As a reward for the deeds they carried out. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He gives us the ability to continue to study the glorious Quran, to understand the Quran, and to continue to practice upon the messages of the Quran, and bring the entire deen in our life, and remain steadfast until we breathe our last, so that we are also from the people of Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول
الله أكبر
س سميع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي يطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم آمين
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم لك الحمد كما أمرت صل وسلم وفعل بنا ما أنت أهله فإنك أهله ربنا ومنا اللهم رحمتك يا الله